Thank you very much for the beautiful film. So we've got quite a bit of time, so hopefully we can have a bit of a conversation up here, and then I'm sure people have got questions and comments they'd like to put. Congratulations. Listen, I really loved the confrontation with the physical and the insistence, the way you always return to the body and the materiality of the body, the thingness of it, the skin, the water, the latex, the bottles of blood. You don't really let us off the hook. It's just... and part of what I thought was interesting with that was... It avoided falling into some of the ways that cancer narratives and illness narratives get narrated, and experiences that are chaotic and unpredictable sometimes get flattened out or moralized. But I'm wondering how you thought about it, and whether that was part, whether you were thinking about strategies for avoiding those kinds of storytelling.
I mean, the whole project sort of arrived and sort of occurred very intuitively, I suppose. But I mean, in terms of those, particularly with cancer narratives, I mean, for anyone that's seen Manya's other films, particularly 10+4, in which she was, you know, dealing with stage 4 breast cancer at the time and decided to make a film of that experience, not knowing whether she would survive it to the end. And that idea of, unconventional approaches and chaos, I mean, it's just a beautiful and fantastic film, but so odd, and one that sort of straddles so many different approaches to reality. I'm not really here to talk about that film, but I could for a very long time. But I mean, that side of things, and the cancer narrative particularly, you know, that's very much Manya's voice in the film, and she'd be better to answer that, I would suppose.
And first I want to tell thank you very much, Dad. Thank you. And honestly, I don't know really, because I don't have answer really, but I have lots of questions. That's why I'm making film, that just I want to know that I'm really good teacher and non-stop, that I really like that still the reality, and also the camera is really my close friend, and every day I'm recording my personal life, and that's a important point for me, how you can make art from your private life, from your personal life. And for me, that is not just my body, it's a metaphorical, it's a human body, it's an animal body, it's a transformation. And also, it's a connection between memory, and is a dialogue between two space. Dialogue between because I lived in Iran until I was 38, and it's like a dialogue between two space, and just between past and present, that I'm here with you, and also your future, that is your children, and nonstop I'm living in really hard and challenging situation. And with it, like a triangle, and is a past, present, and future. My past, honestly, is I don't want to tell my country, because I don't have any country. I believe that your country is your creativity, is your studio, is your thought, and I don't have any home, honestly. And but I'm living between my memory, past, and now and future, that this triangle is making me, and with camera, and I have a really deep dialogue between camera and me, between two space. That why, for example, when I look at Douglas objects, Douglas sculpture, and remind me past, remind me nonstop, I have this kind of conversation, and between to a space, to different dialogue, to different culture, to different language, to different people, to different gender. And it's not easy, but it's really challenging. That make you lots of questions. Who are you?
So this rather grubby strips of rubber which get transformed are the thing which remind you and take you back in memory to Abadan, to the south of Iran, and then to think about all those mutilated bodies from that war. And then you talk about... you come to this thing of we are all proud of our losses, and through the image of veterans who are photographing themselves with their maimed bodies, with their maimed arms. When I first saw that, I thought, oh, is this an alternative way of dealing with loss by being proud of one's scars, as opposed to reconstruction? And then today I was watching it and I was thinking, tonight I was thinking, well, they probably do have prosthetics, but they're photographing themselves without the prosthetics. And maybe you're more just thinking about the different kinds of stories we tell about our bodies, about our losses, because you also have the stories of the cultural meanings of the body in terms of shame, but also ways of a kind of collective pride.
I think one important point that I'm coming from all my childhood was during the war between Iran and Iraq. And that memory, it's honestly, I'm really traumatized with that time, really traumatized. And some point that, of course, I'm talking about that similarity between people in the war and me, and I think we have the same feeling to losing some part of your body. And also, and I think for me and for audience, is like a, maybe it's like a trauma therapy and psychotherapy too. Because when you remind your past as a, like a something, like you're coming from war, and when you start to thinking and look at it again, and making again, and just talking about it, and I think it's a process that is really important that you want to survive and stand in again for me. And I think, I don't know, can you help me?
I mean, I think...
And I see also, I think that that project, it's, I cannot see anybody. That's
projecting that thing. I think you need to...
Okay, just...
I mean, I think the whole project, really, the whole thing is in some way about loss in so exactly. many different forms, but then ultimately about sort of fighting against that loss, right? And I don't know, perhaps that's something we share. You know, we work in different mediums and we work very differently, as we've discovered. But I think at a core, I think creativity for me is about dealing with loss in the sort of in the broadest sense. That might be very, you know, might be very specific grief, or it might be kind of just trying to reclaim, you know, psychologically reclaim things you've lost from childhood or wherever. And I think that's almost one of the roles of the kind of creative act for me. And, you know, when I first met Manya and when the project began, you know, Manya was just finishing Life May Be, her last film, and it struck me just how powerfully she was creating this poetry out of you know, the loss at that stage, you know, the loss of your country and of your past, you know, like that overnight, and other things too, and loss of body. But so it's how you kind of approach those things and how poetry might come out of that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there's this really powerful image of the leafcutter ant's nest in the middle of the film, and you talk about an impossible dream of reconstructing it, because the thing will, it's impossible because the thing can't be reconstructed, it can't be removed from where it is, or it would break up if that were to happen. And later on you're talking about the impossibility in terms of your ovary. And it sort of made me think about, maybe the idea of reconstruction and artifice and a certain impossibility of getting back things that are lost. And that's a paradoxical, but then there's this miracle, which is the breast that produces milk, which is like completely stunning. And but I don't know, I was just wondering if you had more thoughts about this idea of reconstruction and animating the inanimate, inanimate materials.
I suppose, yeah. I mean, as a sculptor, that's sort of the whole endeavor, right? And it's all about transformation. I mean, it's interesting. Manya's sort of spoken about, you know, being very much attracted to objects and their kind of association with memories. And I was thinking about that today, and I just thought, you know, for a sculptor, I'm strangely perhaps uninterested in objects themselves, but the material transformation and that idea of reanimation, which always sort of holds a certain pathos as well, I suppose, because yeah, it is paradoxical and it is impossible. But so I think, you know, perhaps I've worked most of my adult life as a sculptor, and you know, creating these objects, but always felt that more aligned to the process than the final objects, but never really found a way to articulate that. And I think when this project began for me, and when I saw some of Manu's work, it was almost like a language opening up to explore those things, and it was a real gift.
It feels like you're exhuming things, preserving things. You're like some taxidermist. But I appreciate there's also the physical labour involved, and it's slightly kind of stinky, dirty work as well. You get that impression. And
I find that easier than the emotional labour of like writing and making a film. That's why I do it most of the time. But, you know.
But it is very interesting that yesterday we had a screening at Copenhagen that one of the audience asked, you talked in the film about body, but Douglas didn't talk. But I thought, no, it's not right. Douglas talked about body too, but his body too. But he talked about bath, he talked about elephant, he talked about skin. All his objects are really a storyteller. But I don't know, I'm non-stop thinking that the first time when I met him, I was in love with him or with his artwork, but just it's a bit complicated. But I didn't know that what is the situation, but I thought, oh, maybe both, and just... And I think, honestly, that is, yeah, I think he doesn't like that when he's making a sculpture, he's making object artwork, his body is just there, nonstop is. And I think he's like me, he's really obsessed to skin and just texture and of human and animals. That why maybe, and also his work is really a storyteller. That the process is really important. That I think it's very important that I would like to share with the audience that when we making this film, that I didn't want to make a film. I just, the most important for me, the process was really more important than the result. And I didn't know, I didn't have any concept, content, structure. I wanted just survive, just fighting, just living, just why for me is really important that walking or moving between art and life, and I don't know, I couldn't separate them. I think they are together. For me, that why nonstop that I'm trying, and that And we didn't know that when I started, we didn't live together. And but step by step, we lived together. But I don't know if that it was a good point. I know anyway. But
well, we barely knew each other when we started.
And then it was very interesting that it and also it was very hard because we didn't have a space. We nonstop we were together, but we had a space. We had some secret that we didn't share together, and we won't send to each other letter. And I think it was really hard to handle it. What do you think?
Yeah, it's had its challenges. I mean, we work very differently.
We work very different paces. A lot. A lot.
That's normal.
Sorry, are you talking about the creative process?
Yes, of course.
Which creative process?
Yes.
But when the art and life are so intermingled, sometimes it's difficult to distinguish.
Yeah, I think Robin is creative process too. I think we have a baby's creative process too. It's a natural creative and it's a pure creative, I think, to be pregnant and to be mother, I believe that. Mm. And it's an honestly really amazing experience that they give you. Honestly, you could open different window to the life, and it's a really other way that it's amazing experience. I think maybe the people have a question, but we talk a lot. Okay, sorry.
So, question back there. There's a mic.
Good evening. It's not really a question. I just want to thank you. Through your bodies, you've shown us beautiful spirits and souls. Thank you very much. We have to leave early because I have my kids' school day. But thank you. And I really think through this whole body experience, I've seen more of your soul.
Thank you. You helped to us to making this film. Thank you, Nilufar. You are one of the people that to help us a lot to making this film. Thank you. And any question? Yeah, I think.
Salam.
Oh, salam.
I had a question about you talk about early in the film about Iran. And how there's a mutual artwork between people and government. And I felt that it's somehow, there is kind of a mutual artwork with you and the government of Iran through the film, which kind of disappears as you go through this journey of making a new body for yourself. I don't know if I get that right, as you said that now you don't feel like you have a home, but it's like in your past, I don't know, just wanted to ask if you still feel the connection between yourself and government.
Sorry, I couldn't exactly understand the question. What is exactly the question? My relationship with Iran?
No, I'm saying that it's a bit difficult to say.
No, don't worry. Just you can explain that. I can understand.
Yeah, you said on one part about having a mutual artwork between the people and government.
Yeah, two times. Yes, about images and about the boxes. Yes.
And it somehow reflects in your work as well.
Yeah.
In a part of it. But through the film, that story of Iran kind of vanishes. And it seems like, I don't know, do you still like feel like that it, did it happen in your life as well? Did it vanish for you? Can I say it Farsi?
Yeah.
I guess I'm saying it a bit complicated.
Sorry, I'm talking a bit because nah. I don't understand exactly the question about Iran.
نه منظورم اینه که انگار که اون ارتباطی که با ایران داشتین توی فیلم در مورد گذشته صحبت میکنین و بعد این میگذره و انگار با ساختن این بدن جدیدتون اون ارتباط اون گذشته هم
I understand now. I think that is a structure is like a little bit like a psychotropy and traumatropy that I told you that of course that when you are making when you are watching it, when you look at it, of course, you are healing and you are surviving. And that is one of the important, I think, that some artists, they believe that art is like an art therapy. For me, before, in 10 plus 4, when I had cancer, I told to people that it was just chemotherapy, it was art therapy, cinematherapy, and moving image therapy too. That I think this connection and that is really helpful to artists to survive. Of course, I'm here. I'm 38 years. I lived in Tehran, Iran, and part of you are living every day with your memory, and also with your past make your identity as a woman. And without your past, I don't think that is a little bit hard to understanding yourself. That when I'm talking about that image and talking about that time and help me to survive too. Yeah. I don't know that I answer you exactly or not.
It was just interesting to see your transformation to a new understanding of yourself. I think that.
It's true. I wondered whether the imagery from Iran might come back at the end, but you let that go with the creation of the new life. It seems like that takes over.
I think life has a continuation, and you have to accept it. That of course that it's really hard. You have a many hard memory from your past, not exactly because of you lived in Iran on the world. And it's not about just one Iran. I'm not talking about just one space. Many people here, they have many traumatized from their country, from their childhood, from the past. But of course, you have continued, but you have to accept it, and you have to fight. You have to just accept and go. Next,
I just wondered what the relationship was between the person behind the camera and the person in front of the camera, and sometimes you swap, and did you agree any rules around when you were going to film and not? Did you just go for it? Did it feel odd if you'd been filming for a long time and then suddenly you found yourself in front of the camera, or was it very unselfconscious?
There were no rules, and it was... I would definitely film when instructed to. And there were times when that was quite hard. Honestly, Ivania is kind of a fearless filmmaker. As you know, I think if you kind of train and grow in a country where shooting is often done illegally under pain of quite heavy punishment, then if, for example, you're in a in the Tattooists and you're filming and you kind of know she doesn't want to, and you're told to do it anyway, you'll do it anyway. So the relationship is it's a pleasure, and I know how important the whole process was for Manya, so whenever I could help behind the camera, I would. And then equally, you would come to the studio. There were no rules. It happened very organically, and a lot of it's shot on a phone, for example. That's a more discreet way of shooting, which allows accessing. I suppose we're able to shoot those very intimate scenes a lot of the time in the hospital because I'm her partner and I'm there and it might be normal, or even if it's a bit unusual, it can be done discreetly.
But I think that I really like this kind of relationship between behind and camera and front of the camera. I think sometimes they're same, and I really like that sometimes Douglas was behind the camera and we can he talk to me and we can hear, and I think that is the camera is Douglas, is two eyes, and the Douglas is you, and is your audience. That is that welcome to my private life, and you're me and I'm you, and it's just mixing and just sometimes chat, just moving. That it's my challenge. I had this experience in other films too, And but Douglas, it's coming from this country, of course, that it's really hard to taking film without permission. But I told him, just recording. And today, did you ask of doctor? And I told him, yeah, he told me yes. I sent email. I said, just recording. I sent him. I said, are you sure he's fine? And I told him, yeah, I'm sure. But I was, I didn't send any.
I didn't believe her.
And he recorded. And then Dr. James, in the film, he was lovely. And he totally understand. And he told, yeah. But he was really angry sometimes of me, and he said, "Okay, finished. Stop it. Camera non-stop. We want to work." But I know that it sometimes really annoying that during the work. But I think that is my best friends to help to me have a dialogue with my life, and then sometimes honesty really helped to me that I think that maybe he's not real. Maybe I'm making for film, for cinema, and it just that is just a little bit helpful, I think.
I think it's interesting because I mean, initially, you know, the whole scene you're being photographed in a very sort of bare room with equipment in it. You're more or less naked, and the person's saying, "Just relax." And repeatedly, there are these scenes where you are you are becoming an object, and it's quite hard to watch. Then, but I also have the thought that you're also somehow directing. You've described it as therapy, and also that it helps you. Thinking of yourself as a sculpture helps you. I was quite interested in this ambivalence between whether you're being objectified and you're not in. This is a most out of control situation, or actually you're having a feeling of some control in the situation by framing it, reframing it.
It's interesting point.
It's interesting to watch as well.
Yeah,
that idea of control, particularly when the surgeries are hard, and when the
it's really.
And, you know, there's the one scene that I just think so. You know, there's one time we really see you in pain. You know.
Yeah.
And there's sort of control. Yeah, this idea of control, and it's amazing to watch. You know, and it's amazing to watch. For me, to watch my partner being that in control of these really difficult situations, but then to see when that breaks down as well is kind of incredibly moving.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't have anything. Yes, please. Sorry.
You're not moderating.
We have a
moderator.
So sorry.
Thank you. It's a curiosity question. When you showed in the pregnancy trial, and we see this little blastocyst embryo, and it was saying, you know, this is very small and so on. Was this just the full start, as there often is in pregnancy, or were we actually watching, you know, the beginnings of your child?
He's asking, like, when the scene we see the embryo, it's too small. Is that? That was
Robin.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was Robin. And we didn't put in the. Yeah, that is a because
that's quite a story.
Honestly, it's a really a painful story. But the hospital did mistake of the date. That is a horrible. That I found that after 2 hours they told us so sorry. That sometimes that you have to do like just 1 week, they put in the computer the date. The date was mistake. The baby was fine.
We were on the train home in a very emotional state, obviously. I mean, you said no, they had the date wrong. And they just mentioned the date once, and I thought, you know, it was almost part of a grieving process because of what we've been told. But she's like, no, I'm going back to hospital, and she ran back, and indeed, yeah, they'd input the wrong date, so they would have. Constantly, I mean, there's a good chance that he wouldn't be with us now, because he would have always been like a week or 2 weeks too small, and at some point you make that hard decision, you know, whether or not we would have done that, doesn't know, but
that I put the honestly when I came home and I found and exactly I saw that bird in my window, and I took the and I had the foot camera and I start to just filming. And it was, for me, is a amazing news. And I thought, no, that is beautiful. And then I didn't want to talk about what happened. I want to just tell with the bird and the fighting with the crow that we are going that is to positive way. Yeah.
It's half a question and half an observation. Right at the very beginning, because I absolutely adore Farsi, I love the Iranian language, and what struck me was this kind of continuity from those films that you'd worked on with, it was Kiarostami or Makhbaz?
Yeah. 10, yeah, by Abbas Kiarostami, yes.
But in all of those films, there's this fantastic sounding language. And what I felt right at the beginning, with it was like almost that you were opening each other up, that with the language and the correspondence that you start writing, he's obviously really hooked. I mean, you can't not be hooked on hearing Farsi. I mean, it's just such one of the most beautiful storytelling languages in the world, in my opinion. So I had the sense that because of the listening to the language, and as it goes on, it doesn't matter whether you can understand it or not. And then somehow, then Douglas starts talking, and then he's actually got into it's almost like as if it's unlocked. A storytelling desire in him, and so then he learns from you, and then somehow or other this kind of inside outside that's going on, because you've got the inside of the body, and he's busy talking about being in this wet space of his mother's womb, and then he's talking about things that guys don't often manage to do, which is like talking about the death of their father. And actually somehow I felt there was this kind of thing where you were unlocking the inside and outside of each other, but that it came through, that there was something about this storytelling, this really ancient thing that is persistent in the film, where you're using the voice, and this storytelling thing is going the whole way through, and then he's breaking in, and suddenly he's being, you know, not like a normal kind of macho sculptor guy, and he's talking about being in his mum's womb, you know, which is quite, I thought it was absolutely fantastic. So it was like as if the pair of you.
Thank you so much for all your beautiful comment. Thank you so much.
I mean, I think one thing to remember as well is when we met, we were essentially separated by language, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, Manu had only been in UK for a year, and
I have dyslexia.
And your English was more basic than it was now. I mean,
couldn't talk any English at that great time.
Well, we had a, no, well, you could, yeah.
And I had this. It's really hard for dyslexia people to learn to second language, but I have a dyslexia from my childhood. It just is obvious that family knows, but doesn't matter. But I'm very proud. But most of the time, I'm telling to people, Robert Rauschenberg has a dyslexia. It doesn't matter. That most of the artists have a dyslexia. It doesn't matter. But it sometimes is really painful, honestly. But sometimes it's fair. For example, where is Mehrdad here? Mehrdad? Yeah. For example, today, 10 times I told Mehran, 10, I'm Mehrdad. Just is a dyslexia, honestly. Just non-stop, you forgot it. Anyway, but... Yeah, and also he's a great artist. Honestly, really, he's an amazing artist. And it was really hard for me conversation. One point that I start to like a cinema letters because of the dialogue of the language of the two different culture, two different language, two different memory, past history. And that why I start to with Mark Cousins, that life maybe, and then we talk together, and I think, and then Douglas, and I think that because when I start I lived here, and the structure of my films changed, because I think it's really important that, and also I found that I hate monologue, and just I really like dialogue between two space, two people, because I don't believe that relationship is about him or me. I think relationship is here, is between us. And I believe that art is between people, not is with you or with me, it's between us. That I tried a lot to find that dialogue between two people. That I of course I love my language, and I completely understand that you're talking about, I prefer talk here Persian honestly and have a translator honestly, but because I believe that I could explain myself deeply with my mother my first language. Of course it's really hard, it doesn't matter, because you're growing with your childhood with that language, and the language makes your culture, your life, your memory, your connection, and many things that I think.
Some question in the middle there.
Thank you very much. I think you've offered us an extraordinary personal journey, because the film is a total sort of palimpsest in many ways, and I can't think of a better film to open a festival which calls itself, puts it under the banner of essay, because until now I've never really thought much about that term, but I suppose what it means is a presentation of ideas, and you've offered us so much. I think we sort of share so many levels of experience and pain, and it threw me back to pre-memory of sort of ancestral connections, which we only know in a sort of a spiritual way. So that's the sort of furthest back that I think that it takes us, and then there's a sort of level of archaeology there as well. But then one's own sort of personal memory and experience, and then trying to fathom out how you actually constructed this film in the first place. Reasons, I suppose, looking for reasons and why you've made it the way that you have, and how much planning went into the design of it, because it's so complex. And so I'm thinking about the process of the film and the making of it.
No planning went into it. I mean, it was, I met Manya in my studio, and a couple of weeks later I received an edited subtitled film, like, which is, you know, the what you saw there, the palm film with the war, is, you know, it's a slightly shortened version, but you know, that's what happened, and I was kind of shocked and amazed and sort of honored. And over a period of time, I made a reply. She'd also made more during that time, sent me and was encouraging me to hurry up. But that was, you know, that was how it just happened intuitively. There's a lot of content that isn't there in the film, because it was this exchange of letters, and when it came to the sort of final stages, then you kind of look back and you make decisions about what stays. But during the making of it, it was this quite honest exchange of ideas. And I suppose going back to what the lady here was saying, it's that, you know, you can't, when you're sort of separated by language so much, you can't have those kind of, you know, those late night into the early hours conversations you have with someone you've met and that you're falling in love with. When you can't have those to the ability that you want, you kind of find a new language to do that. And I think that's what this is. And obviously during that time we grew closer, and then the nature of it shifts a bit, and in particular, you know, but yeah. In terms of planning and process.
But you know, I think we have a different language, Farsi and English, but we have a same language, one language, is art language. That I think art language, that is just, is a connection between us that made this relationship and made this film. That is a important, more important conversation with other thing for me with Douglas, but we didn't have any plan. Just my plan was just maybe I wanted Robin, just that.
Honestly, I suppose in and you got him, darling. We got him.
Yeah. Honestly, I planned for life. Then I sent to him a lot, and then he accepted to live together. Then I stopped it.
Okay. But in terms of process, I suppose one thing that might not be clear is, you know, essentially, Manya's letters are her letters, written, filmed, directed, you know, edited by her, and mine are mine. So there's a collaboration at the end when it came to sort of deciding what goes in, but in the actual process of making it, it was separated.
One important my challenge is, what is cinema, honestly? What is cinema? That is other challenge for me. The most important things for me in new contemporary life and new contemporary cinema, honestly, what is the cinema? And what is moving image? Where we are going? I think.
Are there more questions, or are we?
Last question.
There's a question down here.
Hello. I'm very interested in the idea of pre-memory, which I know you've touched upon. And
sorry, I cannot hear you.
I'm very interested in the idea of pre-memory, which was mentioned before. And as someone who is born to Iranian mother as well, I'm very interested to know about your kind of relationship to your new motherhood and how your relationship to Iran will then get passed down to him, or that kind of connection, and how that will join you, and also Abadan's kind of presence in all of that. My mother was born in Abadan, and so me kind of having that understanding of oil in that relationship between my two sides to my heritage is become quite a big process to kind of research and come to terms with. I was just wondering what you think about that.
Do you know, honestly, I think most of the time I think if I couldn't make a film, I wasn't a filmmaker, I was architect. I really like architect. And if you think that, for example, Iran or Abadan is it like a huge object, huge space, that you have some memory from that object, that space, that you had a conversation and you had a dialogue. Sorry, what was the question?
No, I was just very interested in right at the beginning of the film where you were mentioning Ahvaz and Khuzestan and Abadan, all places that were very much taken by their oil resource. And we were looking at the rubber and this extensive amount of rubber and plastics that were being made, and that was interesting. I don't know. And then we went into.
I think because because I remember the first bomb in Tehran, and also I remember the war start from that part. That it was really, honestly, it was really hard time. That it was traumatized, and also some part of my family they lived there, and some of them just survived, some of them not, but. Of course, I think if you lived in Tehran and Iran that time during the war, of course you have, if you want to talk about war, you have to talk about Abadan, Khorramshahr, and Ahvaz. That is the most important part that this Iraq, the first time that attacked that space, that area. But that, of course, we had lots of news during the childhood about in the newspaper and about that cities. And when I look at the Douglas palm as an object, that is a black, like a burn palm. And I remember coming to my brain all that images from, because when during the war, I think the newspaper didn't know that when they, maybe they know, I don't know, but when they print the image just from the war, I remember that most of the palm didn't have head, like a people without head. And also some of them was totally black, complete black. And it was really, you know, it was, of course, that also when we are talking about palm, that of course is south of Iran, palm. But black palm is a war for me. I don't know, but it's a deep connection. And is it just... And also, I have to ask of my psychotherapist, honestly, at some point, but is it, what is this kind of connection? Sometimes it's Freudian, sometimes Jung, sometimes we don't know.
Manu, maybe you can just clarify, what is your status in terms of Iran? Are you in exile? Can you go back?
I cannot. I would love to come back, but I cannot come back. Right. But many people we have here that they cannot come back. That sadly, we have lots of memory, many friends, but we have lots of memory. But no, I cannot come back. That is one point that is really important, that when I'm talking with my psychotherapist, sometimes you decided to leave your space, your country, to find a new space for yourself, for new experience. It's a totally different that you never choose it, but you know, that is totally different. But is it that when you cannot come back to your past, to your memory, to your, you cannot touch that object, you cannot touch that form, that history, I think you are more obsessed. I think you want to have more. And this is my situation at the moment. That I think, honestly, I'm here, but most of the time I'm thinking about Iran, Tehran, and I have a connection non-stop with new application, Telegram, WhatsApp, everything that you think. That I really love it, that because I can talk with the new generation from Iran non-stop every day. And they're amazing. And I'm really enjoying with Farsi language and talk with them and write them. And they're writer, film critics, and women activists, they're amazing. The new generation, I think, I have lots of hope to them, more than me. They're more knowledgeable of my generation. That maybe is because of the just new contemporary, like a revolution of computer or internet and like that, but they're more knowledgeable than my generation.
Are there more questions, or is it... Oh, yes, there is.
Thank you. Just a very first, what a wonderful film. I was hoping to have a peaceful sleep tonight, which is not going to happen, so thank you for that. But I think, going back to what you said about what is cinema, what's really interesting about this is also the interdisciplinarity in the work. So you as a filmmaker, you as a sculptor, but then the various disciplines that appear in the film as well, archaeology, medicine, you know, and various images. And I think that in between spaces, between these different practices and disciplines, also helps create this very interesting, very kind of interesting journey, both for us and also for you as a pro, you know, possibly in terms of creating that process. I just feel that there is a new kind of, if you like, general movement in the arts, which is about moving beyond disciplines, so to speak, and I think this kind of reflects that for me a little bit.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Mirza. Thank you very much.
And perfect for the SA Film Festival.
Thank you, Miranda.
So thanks, everybody. Thank you.